Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Living in a world that is so deceived, living in a world where hardly you can find the real truth except that you check it by the Bible. And there have been those who have tried to change and pervert the Bible. And that's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order. And all of the errors of the King James Version, mistranslations of the King James and other versions, the restoration of the verses that men have arbitrarily taken out, have been restored. And put into modern English that is easy to understand. And we have many features in this Bible that you don't find in other Bibles. We have commentaries about where did the Bible come from? How was the Old Testament written? What language was it written? How do we know we have the one that we have? How was it canonized? How was it preserved? What happened to the Bibles that men worked on later and scrambled all the books of the Bible and got them out of order? And yet, they're the ones who are supposed to be the great compilers of the Bible for the Roman Catholic Church. What do you know about that? The truth of the matter is, the Roman Catholic Church had nothing to do with the canonization of the Bible. Ezra and the committee called the Great Synagogue of 120 priests and Levites who compiled the Old Testament. And the New Testament was finalized by the Apostle John with the help of Andrew and Philip and probably Mark. Now these were men dedicated to the truth of God, dedicated to preserving what God had inspired to be said, dedicated to upholding the Word of God. And in the Holy Bible in its original order, that is the only criteria that we used. We didn't have a committee for the feminist over here. We didn't have a committee for the homosexuals over here. We didn't have a committee for Judaism or Catholicism or Protestantism or atheism or witchcraft. Just the truth of the Bible with the proven known transcripts from the Greek and the Hebrew that have been authenticated down through time. And that's how we proved it. That's how we translated it. And then we have commentaries to help you understand all of the erroneous doctrines that so many Christian churches have today. And in what we've been going through about the occult holidays, every one of the occult holidays is a lie. And as we have seen, Satan the devil is the father of lies. And as we have seen, Satan has deceived the whole world. And he has his agents who infiltrate and then bring in false doctrines, begin to change things, and then do away with the scriptures altogether. And yet, these organizations and institutions are known as Christian. So some of the things that we bring out here at Church at Home, very important for you to understand. You say Satan has been busy ever since the Garden of Eden. And now the book of Revelation tells us that he's deceiving the whole world. But now I want to focus in on the early New Testament church because that's the original Christianity. And we find many warnings and we find things that there were false preachers, there were false teachers, and they deliberately rejected the teachings of God to bring in their own way. And that which God says is good and right and truthful and that he is inspired to be declared, we don't need it. Now let's look at some scriptures which gives us some clues as to what really happened. We know that Jesus told us, "Don't let anyone deceive you by any means, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ." Because after all, everyone wants their sins forgiven, don't they? Everyone wants the difficulties in their life relieved, don't they? Yes, so they come along and they bring a new Jesus, a different Jesus. And Satan is called an angel of light, and all of his ministers are called ministers of righteousness when they're not. Now, what is the basis that we use? First of all, Isaiah 8 tells us to the law and the testimony. If they don't speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they start bringing them in as traditions. And they start bringing them in as different interpretations. That's why we are to let the Bible interpret the Bible. Now, if you don't have the 14 rules for Bible study, you go to our homepage at Church at Home and you download it. And you practice that. And you follow that. And you will see that's what we do at Church at Home and on Christian Biblical Church of God, cbcg.org. We're not interested in politics. We're not interested in traditions of men, be they whatever they are, from every religion. We're not interested in ruling the world now. Christ is going to come, and he is going to give all of those who enter into the kingdom of God the rule and power over the world to change it. So God right now is calling the few, as we saw last time. Few enter in at the gate. Why? Because it's difficult. Why? Because it goes at cross purposes with this world. That's why you go through our segments that we have had on the seventh day Sabbath. Any other day, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, as the weekly day of observance that is pronounced holy, are wrong. And one step further, if you reject God, or if you reject Christ, even though you worship on the seventh day Sabbath, and you do it through the traditions of men and the teachings of men, you're rejecting the commandments of God, and you're worshiping God in vain. That's what God told the scribes and the Pharisees. Let's see the contrast here. Here's how you prove it, because we're told by the Apostle Paul, prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, hold fast to that which is good. Then we find in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 11, that those in Berea, in the synagogue in Berea, because Paul came preaching, what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so or not. Because, you see, the apostles preached Christ from the Old Testament. So they had the Old Testament to compare. They didn't believe the rabbi in charge of the synagogue. They didn't believe the traditions that the Jews had invented. These were noble Jews. They looked at the scriptures and held fast to what is true. Now, that's what we need to do today. There are billions of Bibles in the world. And even those that have errors in them, there's enough in there for beginning knowledge of how to come to the knowledge of repentance and salvation and begin to understand the Bible. Though men wanted to change it and do things, God didn't allow them to do all they wanted to do. He allowed them to tinker a little here and tinker a little there. But the Word of God cannot be destroyed. And God preserved the copies of the original so that we could do the Holy Bible in its original order. Now let's come up here to 2 Peter, the first chapter. We're going to start out with what the basis of writing the New Testament was all about. And Peter wrote this sometime before he died. And he's writing to all the disciples and to the churches. And he is verifying an absolute fact that is true. Verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly concocted myths as our authority, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his magnificent glory." Yes, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the vision of Transfiguration, and they understood that Jesus Christ was indeed the Lord God of the Old Testament. Now, with that indelibly imprinted upon their minds, and with having the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leading them, and having God breathed the words that he wanted them to write, though they used their own personalities, here's how they approached the New Testament. Verse 17, "Because he received glory and honor from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased.' And this is the voice from heaven that we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain." Only the original apostles of Jesus Christ, not the church fathers. Now, they like to have a camouflage name, early church fathers. So it sounds equivalent to the apostles. But that's a lie. The early church fathers were part of the conspiracy to develop a different church, not the one that Jesus founded. "We also possess the confirmed prophetic word." Christ came and confirmed it by his life, by his teachings, by his crucifixion and death and resurrection. That's what the New Testament is based upon. And he wasn't resurrected on Easter Sunday. We'll get to that a little later. "To which you do well to pay attention, as to a light shining in a dark place." And that's what the Word of God is today. A light shining in a dark place. And God has sent it so you can know. And that's why there are billions and billions of Bibles in almost every spoken and read language in the world. God has given himself a witness, and the gospel is being preached. "Until the day dawn," and that's the return of Christ, "and the morning star arises in your heart." That's when you're resurrected from the dead. Then he says this, here's the first thing I want you to know about the Word of God. Now, I want you to think about this in relationship to all of those false teachers who stand up in the pulpit and sound so important and so intelligent and so knowledgeable and say that the law has been done away, or that there's a dispensational work that they did back there, and we don't need to read the Old Testament. No, there's a unity between Old and New Testament. But notice what Peter wrote, and I want you to notice how he wrote this in relationship to what follows. Because this will help you get grounded in the truth of God. And this will help you to understand that if you come to God the way he wants you to come, because we are to seek, we are to knock, and we're promised we will find. But you have to come God's way to the true God, to the true Jesus Christ, through the true Word of God. Not the fables and traditions of men. Verse 20, "Knowing this first," you need to understand this, "that no prophecy of Scripture," now that is no written words of God, because if it comes from God, you can call that a prophecy, or inspired writing of Scripture, originated as anyone's own private interpretation. No, it did not. If it did, go back and study about the life of King David. Now, if it were up to him, do you think he put in there the account of Bathsheba and killing of her husband Uriah the Hittite? Do you think that the sins of the people would be noted there? No. You read the biographies of famous men today, and how many faults do you find in there? Read the biography of Wilhelm Clinton, written by men, inputted by himself. How many of his hundreds of affairs are listed there? See, the Bible's entirely different. It tells the truth. That's why it is the confirmed prophetic word. And didn't originate as anyone's own private interpretation, because prophecy was not brought at any time by human will, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And these were the true apostles of God. They have been proven by their lives and dedication and writing and persecution and sufferings that they would write the absolute truth of God. Not political ne'er-do-wells. Not those who were seeking to please people, because I can tell you this. If you seek to please people, you're never going to please God. Remember that. And God is the only one who can save you. Now let's come to chapter 2 and verse 1. And why what we just covered is very important for you to understand. Because you have no other standard to know right and wrong, good and evil, unless you understand the Word of God is God-breathed and sent from God, so you will know the truth of God regardless of the circumstances of the world, regardless of what men may teach. Chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, that is, of Israel, as indeed there will be false teachers among you, who will stealthily introduce destructive heresies, personally denying the Lord who bought them and bringing swift destruction upon themselves. They knew what was going to happen. They knew what Satan the devil was going to do, because they also understood that there were false teachers even in their days repudiating what the apostles were teaching. And Paul, when he called for the elders from Ephesus to come down to Miletus, he said that I've gone about preaching the kingdom of God. And he said that you should feed the flock of God that the Lord has purchased with his own blood. And the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that is to help and teach and to uplift. Not rulers, not dominators, teachers. So you can have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And he said, take heed to yourselves. For grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall arise men to draw away disciples after themselves. That's what Paul said. Ties right in with what it says here. See? Now what's going to be the result of it? Remember what we covered last time, that the broad way is the way that many go. And the way to have many is to please people. And the way to bring in more pagans is accept their days of worship rather than convert them. Just bring them all in. Y'all come. We'll just change the name. Now notice, verse 2. And many people will follow as authoritative their destructive ways, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, if you teach the true doctrines that the Bible teaches and the New Testament teaches, that cuts cross-grain with the Christianity of this world because they have long since abandoned the truth. Now, they may have sprinklings of truth here and there, but they have rejected the truth, like one of the best Protestant preachers. Now, I follow what they do, so I know what they're preaching, and he can give some really good sermons. And then it's like going down a path, and it comes to the Sabbath, not a word. Whoop! Hopscotch right over it. When God said, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And the Christian world says today, remember the first day of the week to keep it holy. Who's right? God or man? And if you leave the seventh day Sabbath of God, and if you leave the Passover and holy days of God, and reject them in the New Testament and do not understand the New Testament application, you are deceived. Let's go on. Verse 3, also through insatiable greed, they will with enticing messages exploit you for gain, for whom the judgment of old is in full force and their destruction is ever watching. God knows what's going on. Satan is deceiving the world. Yes, he likes to infiltrate into the organizations to take them over and then move them from Sabbath to Sunday, move them from the Passover to Easter, move them from the truth of the Bible to the traditions of men. With all logical, rational sounding words, but are void of truth. Now, let's come here to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Let's see what Paul says. Now, here's the charge to every teacher, every minister, everyone who says, let me tell you about God. All right? What are you going to tell them about God? What do you know about God? How much do you know of the Scriptures? How much can you really teach? So here, Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, I charge you therefore in the sight of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word of God, rightly divide it, put it together the way that God wants to do it. Be led of the Holy Spirit of God, the truth of God, the righteousness of God, Christ in you. None of this political nonsense that is going on in the world. Salvation doesn't come through that. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. And that shows they were keeping the holy days. Convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. Yes, stay to the truth. Stay to the teachings. Stay to the word of God. Why? Because people will want their own way. That's why. Notice verse 3. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own lust accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. When that happens, when they listen to these smooth talkers, when they bring into Broadway the easy way, oh, just believe in Jesus and everything's going to be fine. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside unto fables. That's what happened. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? That's why you need the Bible. That's why you need the truth. That's why you need church at home. You can't get these things in any church, but you can at home. And that will prepare you with knowledge and spiritual armor and spiritual strength and conviction of the truth. Now, we do have small fellowship groups scattered throughout the United States and various places in the world. But you need to be grounded first in the truth of God. You need to be grounded first in the righteousness of the way that God wants. You need to understand about repentance and baptism and what the Word of God teaches. You need to learn what the Sabbath is all about. And when we get done going through these occult holidays things, we're going to go through the days of the Bible that are those days that we are to keep. And most of them, you probably have never really heard about. And yet, those are the things that tells us what God is doing. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org. We have a multiplicity of thousands of things for you. So if you're really serious, go there. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.